Now, the atmosphere in Paris in 1830 was heady and marvelous. The July Revolution had just taken place, that revolution that brought Louis Philippe to the throne. It was a very open and liberal city throughout the 1830s, and it was a city that was a magnet for artists from all over Europe. The salons were crammed with some of the most wonderful and interesting characters, and could we be but flies on the walls of some of these salons? And this is the environment in which Liszt is thrust at the age of 19. Now, the three great influences of Liszt's life are piled one atop each other once he settles there in Paris. In 1830, he meets Hector Berlioz, who is 8 years his senior, and he comes in contact with Berlioz's concept of combining music and literature to create a greater art form, an art form that we today call program music, but an art form that for Berlioz was going to celebrate the expressive power of a Beethoven symphony, but the story narrative of opera. And this idea of a kind of supra music, a music that becomes literature, poetry, and painting, is what infuses Liszt as it had earlier Berlioz around 1830. In 1831, Franz Liszt meets another denizen of the Parisian salon, Frédéric Chopin, from whom he learns that the piano is capable of great poetry as well as a bravura. Chopin himself was a very delicate and frail man who apparently never played above a piano. A piano means quiet, but the nuance of quietude with which Chopin played the piano was something the likes of which Liszt had never heard before. Chopin, for his part, was jealous of Liszt's pianistic abilities and made no bones about it. Chopin said, "I only wish I could play my own etudes the way Franz Liszt plays my etudes." And of course, it was in 1832 that Liszt hears and ultimately meets Niccolò Paganini. Liszt vows to make himself that same transcendental and extraordinary technical creature that Paganini was on the violin at the piano. And Liszt's future really is to translate this amazing showpersonship and technique from the violinistic sphere to the pianistic sphere. And so what Liszt does is he practices, basically stays in semi-retirement, gives lessons in Paris, practices for 6 years. Now, my friends, Liszt was already a good piano player. But from 1832 to 1838, he sets goals for himself, the likes of which no pianist had ever set before. You see, and again, this should not come over as an editorial, even though it shall. When Mozart practiced the piano, it was in the service of the music he was going to perform. When Beethoven improvised at the piano, it was to express whatever he felt he needed to express. When most of us practice our instrument, it is so we can perform certain repertoire that requires a certain level of technique. The kind of practicing that Liszt is doing between 1832 and 1838 goes beyond that. There is no repertoire for which Liszt is practicing. He, like Paganini, is going to have to create his own repertoire because nothing exists that will drive people to madness at his virtuosity yet. Liszt is practicing to create a new level of pianism, number one. He's practicing to create a new level of physical acrobatic, number two. And he's practicing so that he can learn how to do things that then he can turn into compositions. You see, it's a very bass-ackwards way of working, if you'll excuse me. Most of us practice so that we can play repertoire that already exists. Liszt is practicing to build a technique that will define a repertoire that he hasn't yet created. And so he's purposely trying to be able to do things physically, acrobatically, at an instrument that go beyond anything that's been conceived before. I suppose in some ways then, and this is the editorial, I'm saying that Liszt is going about this in a rather inartistic way. That is, let's see how far I can push the instrument. Let's see how many things I can do that no one else has done before, and having mastered those things, let's put them into compositions that only I can play and that will dazzle the Philistines and everyone else out there. And this is one reason why Liszt, for better or for worse, comes under a lot of criticism. He did in his own day and he does to our day today. A showman, a charlatan, someone who created technique first and then music that simply illustrates technique rather than gaining a technique so that he may play and illuminate a repertoire that already exists. It's a very different approach to both the piano and to what the point of piano playing and music making should be. And it's approach, and it's approach that has garnered List a lot of criticism over the years.